You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew is the beginning of the New Testament. I was just killing time while people were sitting. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you that we can be assembled even now on this day for you. Honor yourself. Honor your saving grace. Honor your wonderful person. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We have been through an exercise as a state, along with others, and we are very much dependent upon power, and the more power we're used to, the more power we want. And thus we become addicted. People become addicted to things. That means that to give oneself up to, that they must have that. And thus, here we are, and coming off of, not quite finished, with our power problems. Now, practically considering that, we have the item of electrical power. And electrical power is a wonderful thing. And we have batteries that make it work so that you can take an instrument, a computer, whatever you want, and flashlight, and you can make them work. Electrical power. And we lose it, and we're in trouble because we're caught up in the need of electrical power. And we are not willing, we're not too willing and eager to go back to candle power. And some of you had candles, etc. And we aren't eager to go back to that, to have no power. Who wants to go back to no power, no electricity? No one wants to go back to no electricity, and therefore we must have it. Electrical power is always in flux or change, and we have it, and then we may not have it. There is political power. And we don't control the electrical power. We can only use it. We don't control the political power. And it controls and is there. And it changes from day to day. The political power of yesterday is gone. And we'd say we'd like to go back to the days when Congress would come in the winter to meet during the off-season when the harvest wasn't there. And they'd come and meet and do their business. Once their business was done, they'd go back to the farm, back to their home, and do their business. You can't go back there, but we can't go back there. We're addicted to the system. We don't like the system in many ways. We wish it would be different. But it's so hard. We're caught up in the system. We're caught up in it. And the economic system, what's in flux at any given moment. Here's Greece and Italy, Portugal, Ireland perhaps, Spain. There they are. And there's Germany and France, America. And the economic power, boy, we're caught up in it. We don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to change it. And it sits. So we're caught up in electrical and the problems that come and go. We're caught up in the political, the problems that are there. They're just there. And not only the political, the economic problem, the economic power, economic money calls and demands and governs many things. And thus, my dear friends, and we have what the dollar buys and what the dollar doesn't buy, you know. And so we come to military power, and we have military power, more or less, hither and yon across the world. And that military power is in, who knows, at any given moment, where that will be, how that will be. We don't know. And there's educational power. And there's that kind of power, that dynamic, educational. And the education that you had years ago when you learned the ABCs and you learned all the basics and you learned them objectively. When you learned them objectively, that was another day. Today it's a subjective learning. But we're caught in it. How is it influencing? How is it going to change? And tomorrow and the day after, the power of education. And the social power, social network, from Wall Street to whatever, God. All the different problems out there, from San Francisco, etc. All of the, across the world, in the Mediterranean network over there. Wow. All of the socials changing. Libya, everything. Boy, is it changing. And you thought it would go one way, but it's going another way. It's going a different way. Wow. And it's all in flux, all in going, social power. And all the rest of it, it's there. All these things. Electrical is just one of them. Just one of them. And it causes volatility, being volatile, seismic, earthquake kind of thing. And we have the weather, the natural powers. And we consider the natural powers and the universe, the material universe, and the earth, the ball hanging out in space here, shaking away in tremors and earthquakes and all the plates moving and all the stuff going on and the earth's rotation over 1,000 miles an hour going around and around and around. Wow. And it's all moving and it's there. It's power. Tremendous natural power. All of it in movement. And we're subject to it. We're subject to the seasons. We're subject to the weather. We're subject to storms, etc., as we have just found out. And thus, dear friend, in the light of that, in the light of the weather and all of it, in the light of the political and educational, electrical, now, all those things, they're all ever upon us and about us, and we are the recipients of what is going on. We are experiencing globally and locally the world conditions. Now, we considered that electrical power, we considered natural power. I'd like you to consider God, God's power. And in the light of that, over in Matthew chapter 22, and you would be mindful of the fact, in Matthew chapter 22, our Lord speaking to those that were questioning and challenging. Verse 28, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. How is that? You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God, the dynamic of God. You don't know the scriptures, what God has said, and you don't know the power of God. You got all kinds of other powers, but you don't know the power of God. And that is the issue. They don't know the scriptures, and God has said something, but they don't understand it. what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do, we don't understand. Now, in this word power, power, the omnipotence of God, the all, every, and then power, ability, the all ability, the all sufficiency, the all capacity, the all authority, the all sway of God's omnipotent power. Power. We omnipotence, absolute power in any and every way. Power. God is omnipotent. He is always powerful, all powerful. There's no greater power. There's no other power in competition with Him. God is able to do anything He wills to do. Anything. God doesn't need anything to do anything. God can use anything He wants to do what He wants. God's power, God's wonderful power. And thus when we consider God's power, God's ability. God, are you out there looking to give, exercise that power on behalf of us humans? A case in point, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And you would remember, be mindful of the fact, in chapter 16, remember, Asa, king of Judah, verse 7, has gone and said unto them, verse 7, and at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Assyria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Why? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth from one side to the other, east to west. To what? For what purpose, God, are you paying attention to us humans? To show himself strong, to show himself strong. He himself, it's reflexive. To bind firmly, to fasten, to twist something together, to make it very, very strong, to support. God will show himself strong. God will show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect, whose heart is wholehearted, whose heart is perfect toward him. Therein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Don't you know that God's looking, God, the omnipotent God, in the light of wars and rumors of wars, in the light of all the powers that could be greater or lesser than yours, don't you know that God is there? And God is a wonderful support, a wonderful source of power. Courage, 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 courage. To show, God shows himself valiant, to say it another way. God shows himself courageous on behalf of someone, God does, to assist them, to come to their aid. And you remember, if you would, you don't have to turn there in Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 6 and 7 and 9. What do we know? God, what did you tell Israel if they were going to have any kind of success against all of the odds, all of the obstacles, all of the opponents? How are you going to win? Be strong and of what? Good courage. And over again he said it, be strong and of good courage. You will not succeed. You cannot travel this road with all of the power and all of the things going on. You cannot, and all of it is there. You don't control it. You have to know and relate to God rightly so that you can go down the corridor of time and having God's will in a world that the wind blows and the snow and the ice, the storms, the rain, the politics, the economy, the world governing socially and all of that exists. In order for you to go, you're going to have to be strong and of good courage. I am there to give you that strength. I am there to help you be that strong. I will support you. I will support you as you travel down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 27, if you would. We were there on Wednesday in God's confidence and concern. And we shared together, going, if I may, directly to pick up our thought, David, remember, has great confidence. He's great concerned about what's going on, but he has great confidence. And thus, the concern is governed by God and his presence. Verse 14, 27, 14. Wait, remember to wait, to bind oneself, to hold oneself in check, to be strong. Wait on the Lord. It's a command. Do it eagerly. Put your whole heart into it. Wait on the Lord. Stretch yourself out. Put yourself in a place of stretching. Remember tying the rope around the box, and you pull the rope real tight. Pull yourself real tight around God. On the Lord, be of good courage. Be strong. And he, God, shall strengthen. Be strong. He'll come and strengthen your heart, support you, thine heart. Wait. There's the word command again. Wait on the Lord. Tie yourself real strong around God. I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. You got all these things, but you aren't going to handle them apart from God. You're looking and waiting for the power to come. Will it come today? Will it come tomorrow? Will it come the next time? Where is the power? The power. Well, God, we need to be in the place that when all of that is missing, we still have power. We still have power. Let me say it another way. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. And in the midst of all the things that go on, is eternal life ever disturbed or ever disrupted? Is it ever disrupted in your heart? Isn't eternal life set, settled, secure, sure? Isn't it? So no matter what's going on, that stays the same. Power. It can all disappear, but God doesn't. God doesn't. Over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and if I may, picking up in verse 24. Be of good courage, there's your word. And he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Look to God. So, God, you're looking up and down the land to see someone that would seek you with their whole heart. And you would show yourself strong on their behalf. That's right. I would do that. Now, and so therefore, God, here we are. And are we to practice that? Will it work, God? Will it work if we trust you like that? Case in point, Philippians chapter 4. Will it work? And you will notice, please, in Philippians chapter 4. Picking up, please, in verse 11. Paul is going to tell you he's going to trust God. He's trusting God. Now, not, verse 11, 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Why not? For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whether having much or little, no matter what my conditions, no matter what's going on, conditions, circumstances, immaterial, whatsoever state I am, therein to be content, to be sufficient. Content, sufficient. I have enough. It's missing out here, but not missing in the heart. I'm not short here. I'm not without power. I'm not without sufficiency. I'm not without life. The sustaining life that I have is based on my relationship to Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ. And whether I eat or drink or have anything is immaterial, because nothing interferes with that relationship and that life. And that relationship and that life enables me for all the shortages in this life. And thus, verse 12, I know both how to be abased, to go down low. I've been humbled. I've had humble pie. Nothing wrong. Humble pie is very good. Very good. Very few restaurants serve it. That's very good. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed, initiated, both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I have been put through the mill, and that's the only way I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn what? I'm going to learn that whether I have a lot or a little, I never am without enough. I'm always content, sufficient. I always have enough, no matter what is missing, or a lot or a little. It doesn't make any difference. I have learned by having it all taken away and getting it all back again. And one of the things you and I, as we mentioned on Wednesday, to be very thankful, very thankful for the simple things of life. I know you are, some of you are. Some of you never lost power, but some did, and lost the phone and everything, and all kinds of things. And we mentioned some of that on Wednesday. And just, you have that, but we forget how thankful it is to have lights. How thankful we are to be able to turn the switch. Thank God that we have this. Thank God that we have what we have. Wow. And we forget it. We forget it till it's taken away from us. And boy, are we glad when it comes back, you know. Wow. Wow. Do you know the power came on and then the power went off once over across the street? And I had a little light when it was on to, in case you had to get up at night. And I opened my eyes at night just to see, make sure the world's all right. And it was dark, very dark. Now I said, what happened? Now someone's played with the light. And there was no power. No power. Again, no power again. Do you know how glad, not sad, when the power came back on in the morning again? Do you know how wonderful that was? I said, Jeanette, watch. Watch. Huh? We lose the thankfulness for what we have. That's why I told you in the beginning. We're addicted. We're addicted to the system. And we're caught in it. And it's taking us like a train down the tracks. And we don't realize, and we can't get off the train. God is going to take us off the train any moment. But hey, we're on it. And thus, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do. I am able, strong. Actually able. I have the strength. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He infuses his power so that the power I have, Where are you getting it? From Christ, Lord. He helped me when I was shipwrecked, when I was stoned, when I was hungry, when I was drowning in the sea, Mediterranean. He was there. And he was there when I was given glory and honor. And he was there. He's there. I can do all things through Christ who infuses his strength. He gives me the ability, the dynamic to handle things. I don't have it in myself. I don't have the power. It can all be taken away and all brought into jeopardy. But not my relationship to God. I need to exercise that. You need to exercise that. Because that isn't disrupted. You can't disrupt God's power. You can, by unbelief, knock it out of business, but you can't disrupt it. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in the light of that, here's an illustration. A God do you look to and fro to show yourself strong on behalf of someone that would seek you? And he does. He wonderfully does. He makes it work. What do you mean, makes everything glorious? No. He could take your power out for 3 months. And it'll be your benefit. You're looking for him to work. You're looking for him to work. You aren't looking for the Connecticut light and power. You're looking for God to outwork his wonderful will in your life. And God knows all the needs, Matthew chapter 6. So we're trusting him. God, we do everything we should do, use our good common sense, but we trust him. Now, over, if you would, to an illustration, again, of great need. Things aren't what they used to be. Over Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah and chapter 4. And you remember in Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah. Chapter 4. In chapter 4, in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, the Israelites, a remnant of them, not a lot, just a few comparatively, go back to the land, and they continue, they start to build, they're going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city somewhat, the wall of the city, and they're going to do that. All that they do, they have to work, you will remember, they have to work, and that's why in Haggai, etc., Ezra, Nehemiah, the complaint of the people around them, they made mockery of them. Why? Because they had to work with rubbish to build the wall, to build the temple. They had to work with the rubbish that was left over from Nebuchadnezzar destroying the city 70 years ago. You see? They have to work with rubbish. And what they do, what they have is wonderful. But oh, it is so far short of the glory of Solomon's temple. Of the glorious days of King Solomon. They're all gone. And they're subject to their neighbors. They're subject to the power company and the economy and the social status of the world around them. They're caught up in it. They try and want to be, but they're there. Now, God, what do you say to a people that are caught up? They can't do a lot about stuff. They can't fix it. They can't bring it back to the old days, good old days, you know, to bring it back there. You can't do that. You'll remember in the Second World War, in the different memorials, that was it is known, the greatest generation in America. The greatest generation was then. And if you live then, you have an understanding of that. Wow. There was no generation like it. Wow. That's right. Now, having said that, God, we don't have that. We aren't there. All right. God speaks. Zechariah chapter 4. He speaks to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. Zerubbabel is the governor. Joshua is the high priest of Israel. And there they are, and God is going to speak to them and encourage them. In the government and in their relationship to worship and to God, God is going to help them. Now, in the process, remember, there's the lamp, the tree, without getting into all of it. And you have the lamp up there and the two olive trees. And the olive trees are feeding the menorah. Here's the lampstand with all the little things. And the menorah and the olive trees. The olive trees, you don't have to make olive. The olives, the oil just comes in the tree and keeps them all full. All full. All full. And the light glows. And the power there, the lamp, the light. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He was the light of Israel. And there he is. There's light. Light. Power. Now, what are you going to say, God, in putting that together for Israel and for us? Verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Here, God, in your wonderful authority, in your wonderful sovereignty, in your wonderful saving grace, you are going to go and maintain Israel when they have nothing. And it seems like they are going to get clobbered, and they will again, but not yet. Not yet. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to strengthen them. Strengthen them. But God, you aren't going to change. The situation's the same. The conditions are the same. The circumstances are the same. The people are the same. The problems are the same. The price of food's the same. I am going to strengthen them, though. I'm going to do something for them. And I want them to know it isn't centered in the system in which they live. It's in God. And thus you had in verse 6, not by might, not by strong, firm human resources, military, the military, ability, wealth, not that way. Not by power, human strength, mental, physical, not by human ingenuity. No, not that way. Not by internal or external human anything. No, no, on the contrary. No, God is going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. And contrary, because he isn't trusting, he doesn't need anything. He can do anything he wants with anything he wants. He can take five loaves and two fishes and make it to thousands, which he did. Nothing to it. Now, so God's work in God's way, by God's word, that's how. God, is there a message? Yes, there is, for them and us. Oh, to be painfully, painfully conscious of our inability to shine, to shatter the surrounding darkness, death, disease, doubt, dullness. How do we overcome it? Not by our own strength. No, sir. To know our condition, our limitations, our inabilities to be able to cope, not to be copeless, but to cope with circumstances. Oh God, how are we going to know how to do that? Well, it isn't going to be in your own power. Not in your own power. It isn't in your ability. You aren't going to overcome what's out there by yourself. You aren't going to be able to go in the light of your condition. In the light of your circumstance, to know the endless, inexhaustible supply. The olive trees, they just keep feeding and feeding and feeding. And so the little lamps, oil lamps, up there in the menorah, they never go out. They never go out. They never go out. Just oil and more oil and more oil. Wow. The power of an endless supply. I'm going to give you a verse. Hebrews 7, 16. You don't have to turn there. The wonderful thing the Lord Jesus' priesthood does, it gives you the power of an endless life. 7 and 16. The power of an endless life. Do you understand that? Nothing can interfere with it. It would be like having an electrical power and your house power would never go out the rest of your life. It would never go out. No matter what happens anywhere, the power wouldn't go out. God said the power of an endless life. It'll never stop, never be disrupted, never disturbed. The power of an endless life. And you know, in each of those little lamps, in the little cups, each of the little cup is a wick. It's only a little wick. And it's always, at any moment, a step away from bankruptcy. But as long as the oil is there, it feeds the flame, and it works, dear friend. It works. And the light lights. Do you understand? The lamp. It's just a little wick. The wick is bankrupt without that. God, here we are. Our limitation, our condition. Right. And you're bankrupt like a little wick. Did you have candles? Some of you had candles. Had little candles, you know. There they were, watching little candle burn. A little wick. And it burned and burned and burned. Just a little wick. Only a step away from bankruptcy. But as long as the relationship was there, to the oil, to the supply, the wick would burn and burn. The heart, with all of its needs, in all of the conditions that it faces, in all of that, as it's on the step, a verge of bankruptcy at any moment we are. But all around us is God's grace and mercy. And that feeds us. The presence of God feeds us so that we don't go out. We have life. We have light. We have power. Wonderful power. Having a wonderful supply. And all we have to do is cooperate. All we have to do is cooperate with God. Trusting God. That's all. Just looking to God. God said, will you trust me? That's all I want you to do. I want you just to trust me. So now having said that, dear friends, would you go with me, please, to verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. In other words, here's the obstacles, here's the opponents, here's everything there. But, and it looks like huge mountains, then how am I going to produce? How am I going to make it go? How am I going to get through this? Ah, God said, the mountains, the obstacles, the opponent, I'll make it level so that you can proceed. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Zerubbabel, Joshua, be of good cheer. You're going to finish a little temple. Nothing like Solomon's. Nothing. In fact, it's missing a lot of pieces. But we're going to have it. And I'm going to be there. And you're going to finish that. You're going to go all the way up to the top. And the two top stones are going to come together. You're going to build and put the two stones together up on top to show that you finish it. Grace, grace, grace. You're going to finish what you start. Oh, God. You're going to do that? Uh-huh. I'm going to do that. And by the way, as we come to the end of the age, looking to God, and thus in verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. You're going to know, Zerubbabel, be of good cheer. Just keep going. But. No buts, no maybes. Just do. You've got the power, you've got the life. I didn't disappear. The power may, but I didn't. And I am the power, omnipotent power. Now, God, would you give me another word? Would you give them another word that would help them? Not only am I going to tell them they're going to finish it, but they ought to be of good cheer. And, verse 10, you know, wonderful statement. For who hath despised, to esteem little, to esteem lightly, to overlook? Who would despise the day of small things? Small things. Do you remember this little word small is used of Elijah? When the woman, remember they're going to, there's famine in the land and all of that. And he tells her to make a little, he said, give me a little drink and a cake. And she said, all I have is enough food to make a little cake between me and my son. And he said, give me the little cake. Little cake. And you'll die. There's no more. But the little cake opened the door to what? To an endless supply for them all during the famine. True? Do you know Elijah was up on the mountain and when the rain was going to begin? And he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited up there. And lo and behold, he's waiting and his servant went out and would look and Elijah would be praying and a servant would, he said, what do you see out there? And he said, I don't see anything. And then he came back and said, I see a little cloud. There's the word small. I see a little cloud in the blue sky. And the rain came. See? Don't despise the day of little things. Little people trying to handle big things, and we don't seem to always succeed. But, you don't want to say, what am I? Who am I? I'm nobody. God doesn't know. No one cares. God is looking to and fro to find the heart that would seek him. And the heart that would seek him, he would show himself strong. And the strength, my dear friend, would be of God, not of any human thing. Human powers are all there. And then there's God's power. God's omnipotent power just sits there. Life. The heart beats and beats and beats and beats. The heart could stop. But life never was interrupted. Ever. Wow. And that's where we are we not? In that wonderful place, looking to God. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't say, well, I'm not doing anything. We don't have much. We haven't got much. What are we doing? Nothing. Nothing. If you would just be trusting God and allowing God to show himself strong on your behalf, so that when he takes it all away from you, you learn to always have enough. And when he gives it more than enough, you don't need enough, but you always have enough. Always have sufficiency, whether you got a lot, whether you got a little. You learn it. How do you learn it? By having and not having. By having it easy and having it hard. And you learn that your life is centered, Colossians 3, centered in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know? I got to close. I didn't need to. Now, this is, you can't see this. This is a yellow piece of paper. Yellow. And it has a little dot in it. You can't see the dot. Little dot called God. I put God, G-O-D, in there. Now, I want you to know what we do. This, our problems, here's Zechariah's world and our world and Peter's world and Paul. Here we are, here's your problem. And what we do, we try to find God and in the problem. And we have problems in our life, in our home, in our health, in our wealth, work, and etc. And we're trying to find God, and we put God in, and we see our problem. Our problem, the yellow, is overwhelming. And the God we put in here is so little, minuscule. God, what on earth, what could you do in the light of this? What can you do? Nothing. Is that all right? Nothing. And you know it. It'd be silly to think that God can do anything with this. And a lot of times, more than not, we're trying to pray, oh God, help me in this, just like I'm showing you. And we're doing that. And then we're wondering why we don't have very much success, because we've got a God in the middle of the problem. Using the white paper. God. The white paper, God. And there's a little dot in there, you won't see it. A little dot. And that's me and my problem. And me and my problem are so little. And God is so big. I'm going to trust Him. Otherwise, I'm not going to trust Him. And I'm going to try to work it out all by my lonesome. And I have a great God. And you have it, you know. Most of you know how to spell. G-O-D. God. God. Now what are we going to do? We're going to write God down. And then we're going to go and a little paper. I don't care how you do it. A piece of paper. And then take your pencil and put you right in there. Draw a little face with hair if you're a woman. No hair if you're men. And just draw the thing and put it there. And that's you. And that's how you want to see it. Otherwise, most of the time, believers are doing this. And it won't work. It won't work. Never. Never work. You've got to do this. Did you get that? Isn't it hard? If I got a little God and I got a big problem, the big problem wins. If I got a big God and all problems, there are no problems like we shared on Wednesday. There are no problems to God. If God doesn't have a problem with it, then I'm not going to have a problem with it. If God isn't worried about it, I'm not going to worry about it. If God said, listen, I got it, then I don't need to think about it. I don't need to carry it. I don't need to deal with it. No. No. Canst thou take the barren soil and with all thy pains and toil make lilies grow? Thou canst not, O helpless man, have faith in God. He can. Canst thou paint the clouds? Canst thou paint the clouds at eve and all the sunset colors weave into the sky? Thou canst not, O powerless man, have faith in God. He can. Canst thou still thy troubled heart and make all care and doubts depart from out thy soul? Thou canst not, O faithless man, have faith in God. He can. He can. I can't, but He can. Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I didn't ask you to solve. I didn't ask you to carry the world. I didn't ask you to work it out. I asked you to trust me as I work it out. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace, kindness, mercy. God, my God, help us, please. Thank you for the conditions and the situation we've gone through, no matter how difficult it may have seemed and been and is. God, I want to learn from it. I want to learn well and rightly. I want to learn, and God, may we this day, we're trying to take advantage of it, God. I want to be the beneficiary of this wonderful exercise. So God, help me to trust you with all my heart, that young people, little ones, can pay attention to how adults handle the world with all of its difficulty, because there, my God, are going to face a world even far more difficult than we do. So God, deal with them, deal with us, deal with each other, each of us in a way that causes us to look to you with thanksgiving, to bind our hopes and our hearts and our heads around you, that we would be the wonderful persons that you intended us to be sufficient in your sufficiency, in your saving grace, God, more than enough. Thank you very, very, very much. God, Spirit of God, do for us, for those who know you're not as Lord and Savior. Convict, convince them. God, deal with those who do, that we would awaken to the wonderfulness of your omnipotent person. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Perhaps we can sing, please.